I think we ought to thank our guests for leading us in worship this morning. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. And from what I understand, our guys will be back next week, okay? All right, time to get your teaching outline out. We're in a series about getting unstuck. And today's topic is relevant for everyone because we all have a future, right? Moving beyond mediocrity. I want to start with a question, straightforward question. Do you worry about your future? Don't need to answer out loud. A vast majority of you would answer yes. The experts tell me about 81% of the people would answer yes to that question. So that's most of you. Let me give you some of their answers. I worry about my parents getting old. I worry about money. I worry about sickness. I worry about finding a mate. I worry about a job. One person answered with simple word, gasp, when they thought about their future. And another person said, I have a future. So this is a relevant topic for us all. Unfortunately, it's easy to feel that way and get stuck in what we call our future. The problem is when you're stuck in your present, it's easy to think you're going to be stuck forever. And, well, that's simply not true. But it's easy to get discouraged and to feel hopeless. And maybe you're feeling that way today. I don't know. Maybe you're not happy about some of your circumstances. Maybe job, maybe relationships, maybe finances, maybe health, something else. Please try and remember this. Your present is not your future. If anything is certain, it's change is certain, isn't it? So even if your life is going well, there's change in your future. God sees our future differently than most of us do, I believe. He sees it as hopeful. He sees it with a purpose. He sees it with a plan. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take, meaning future, right? Where your future will go. But before we get talking about getting unstuck, we're going to talk about some things that get us stuck, all right? Four different things that tend to lead us to getting stuck. Number one, we're all familiar with, is worry. Worry, that's the first fill-in. We're all good at it, rich, poor, young, old, black and white, right? We all know this word, don't we? Worry. We all have two choices in life, trust God or worry. You can't do both. If you're worrying, you're not trusting God, no matter how much you think you are. And if you're trusting God, you will not worry. And this is one reason we get stuck, because what does worry accomplish? Nothing. Good. So if you're stuck, worrying is not going to get you anywhere, right? It's not going to move you forward. So worry gets us stuck. Second one is assumptions. Assumptions. None of us know our future, but we all think about our future and we make assumptions about our future. Now, some of you are a lot younger than I am, but say back when you were a teenager, and some of you may be still teenagers, you know, you make some assumptions. I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to get a good job, and then I'm going to find that right person and get married. We're going to buy a house with a white picket fence, and then we're going to pop out a couple kids, and then, you know, life's going to be good, right? We can make all these assumptions. Let me ask anybody that's lived more than 25 years, has your life turned out exactly like you planned? No, all right? It just doesn't all work out that way. As for me, no, not exactly. My wife yelled out, no. I determined I wasn't going to marry a preacher. You see how well that turned out, right? That was at age 18 her life was changed. So we can also make assumptions negatively, right? I will never go to college. I will never find a good job. I'll never find that right person, etc., etc. So we make all these assumptions, and consequently we get stuck by making assumptions. disappointed. The third one that gets us stuck is planning without prayer, or planning without talking to God. That will get you stuck big time. Very dangerous place to be. You know, I planned my career. When I was a teenager, I planned to be an engineer. Fortunately, I decided that God knew better than I did, all right? Just like I decided for my wife it was better to marry a preacher, okay? Planning without talking to God. Moving forward in a relationship without talking to God. God is honored with that relationship. The problem is, when we move ahead without God, we miss God's best. And I don't know about you, but I want God's best. So my best career-wise was being a pastor. My wife's best mate choice was marrying a pastor, all right? And we could have done something else, but we would have missed God's best. And if you plan without God, you're going to struggle. And the fourth one, well, maybe I'll talk about this, or maybe I won't. Maybe we'll talk about it later. No, I'm just kidding. The last one you all know about is called procrastination. You familiar with this? Yeah, we all are, aren't we? And we say, well, I'll think about it later, or I won't think about it at all, or, you know, I'll do it later. And often we are stuck simply because we're procrastinating. We choose not to do anything. We choose not to move forward. We're waiting for the perfect time. When's the perfect time? Yeah, you're all laughing. There's no perfect time, right? None of us would ever have been born if our parents waited for the perfect time to have kids, right? None of us would be here. Okay, I'll do it someday. The problem with someday is it's not a day of the week, is it? Procrastination. God wants you to be stuck. God wants you to move forward, doesn't he? Let's look at our definition for getting unstuck. And we're getting near the end of the series. We're going to finish up next week, Mother's Day. We're going to talk about family. But let's read it together. You want to get unstuck? Moving forward in my life because I'm willing to give God complete control. All right? So what is the key to getting unstuck? Giving God complete control. We sang about in one of the songs, he's captured my heart. If God has captured your heart, you're saying, okay, God, you've got me. 100%. You've got complete control. So, how to get unstuck? How God can have complete control in our lives, if you will. Number one, and we started with this one back in the first message on faith. It starts with recognizing that you're stuck. Recognizing that you're stuck. Admit it, humble yourself, and say, yes, I'm not moving forward. See, that's a definition of stuck, right? Not moving forward? I'm not moving forward. Don't water it down. Don't try and rationalize it. Don't say it's just a phase. Don't say, this too will pass. Admit it. I'm stuck. I'm not moving. Do you want a better future? Well, hopefully we all say yes. You need to be honest about your present if you're going to move forward. So then ask yourself, why am I stuck? Okay, I admit I'm stuck. Why am I stuck? The Bible gives clearly two reasons for getting stuck, two general reasons, no matter what area of life you're stuck in. Number one is sin. Is sin. Anytime I choose to do something other than what God wants me to do, that's sin, and sin causes us to get stuck, or sin causes us to put a barrier in our life, right? It could be a attitude, a sin attitude. It could be, obviously, an action. It could be a sexual sin. It could be a compulsion or addiction, a bad habit. It could be any kind of sin. Sin causes us to get stuck. When sin is present, our future is uncertain. All right? What we do in the present, the choices we make, determine our future, right? So if I'm making ungodly choices, sinful choices, my future is going to be uncertain. We're not letting God be in control of it. So if you're stuck if you're stuck because of sin, what do you do? Well, the Bible tells us. Confess your sins. He will be faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all wickedness. So I'll ask you this morning, is sin keeping you stuck? Then you need to confess it. Admit it and confess it. And God will forgive you and you can begin to move forward. The second way we get stuck is we get stuck because of our circumstances. This isn't stuff we've necessarily done. This is just stuff out of our control. Is life fair? Anybody in control of their life? No, none of us are. Life's not fair. I just kind of blew me away. I got a prayer request in the first service. My sister, May and Lois and Jim, her husband, they moved to Arizona, I don't know, 3 years ago or something. Right, yeah, right after my mom died, for a job. Well, in two months, they're going to lose your job. Yeah. Do you have control of your future? No. That means that was circumstances completely out of their control. I mean, the whole company's shutting down. It's not that they're firing this, the two of them. You know, we don't have control of our future. So you lose your job sometimes. You get an illness. Somebody breaks up with you. You have a financial setback. There's just all kinds of circumstances in life that can get you stuck. Does God promise you perfect circumstances? In fact, he just promises the opposite. He says there's going to be trouble in this world, doesn't he? There's going to be trouble. There's going to be circumstances. And we say it this way often, God's more concerned about your character than your comfort, right? So, you know, his goal is not to give you a trouble-free life. His goal is for you to grow in Christ's likeness. That's his goal. So no matter how big, that's the best word I can use, your circumstances is, or big your problems are, remember this, God's bigger. Right? God bigger? All right, let's read this passage of Scripture. I think we used it last week or week before, but it speaks to this topic. It's in 2 Corinthians. We think we ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. Talking about some difficult circumstances. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And maybe you feel that way this morning. Hopefully not, but no matter what your problems are. We thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. Now, hopefully nobody's in that situation. But as a result, we stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely upon only on God who raises the dead. One translation we mentioned says, it's the best thing that could have happened to me. Why? Because if we stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely only on God, that's growing character, right? And that should be our goal, Christ-likeness. So if you feel stuck, maybe today you just need to admit it. Okay, I give up, I admit, I'm stuck. That's the first step to moving forward. It's kind of like when you're spinning your wheel sometimes in your vehicle when it's stuck. Sometimes you just have to stop, right, and say, okay, I'm stuck. I need to do something different. So admit it. Second thing, can't just stop with admitting it. That's not going to fix it, right? Secondly, remember God's faithfulness. Now, this might not seem like a big deal, but folks, it's a big deal. Remember God's faithfulness. No matter how insurmountable your future seems, impossible it might seem, nothing is more powerful than remembering God's faithfulness. What word would you like to describe your future? Fear, worry, anxiety? Or trust and peace? Well, sometimes our problem is that we think too negatively about our future. Psalmist puts it this way. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Now, I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Cure for discouragement. Think about the times that God got you through. All right? Just think about some of them. I mentioned to you back at the beginning of the series, back in 1990 to 91. Wife and I weren't getting along. I had no job, didn't know what I was going to do with my future. It was just tough. It was tough. Discouraged. God got us through. You can think of lots of times in your life, the same thing. These are not isolated incidences, are they? God does this all the time. It's His nature. He can't not do it, if you will. So the truth is, if He did it in the past, He'll do it in the future. So it's really important that we remember God's faithfulness if we're stuck. What voice are you going to listen to? The voice is fear, worry, anxiety that gets us stuck and we can't move ahead, forgetting it, everything God's done? Or are you going to remember what God's done? He's been faithful. Been faithful in the past. He's going to be faithful in the future. Remember God's faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. That's an interesting phrase, right? He's indeed God. God's God. Whatever, you know, what the God means. It means He's a big God. Sometimes we have a little God. But God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps His covenant. A covenant's a promise, right? For 1,000 generations and lavishes His unfailing love on those who love Him and obey His commands. Imagine that. For 1,000 generations. What is promises of God made to you? Well, the Bible supposedly has 7,000 promises. All right? Just mention a couple. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, right? I will never stop loving you. If you confess your sins, I'll be faithful and just to forgive your sins. And go on and on and on. And God will always keep His promises. So, admit that you're stuck. Remember God's faithfulness. If you want to move forward, thirdly, refocus your mind on the hope of heaven. Refocus your mind on the hope of heaven. Colossians 3:2. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. What do we spend most of our time thinking about? The things of earth. And if we're going through some negative circumstances or we're caught in some sin, it's easy to focus in on that and get stuck, discouraged, whatever word you want to use. So the Bible says, don't spend all your time thinking about earthly things. Think about heavenly things. See, we get stuck because we have a flawed perspective. I don't know how good an illustration is it, but I used it in the first service. Have you ever been on an airplane flight at night or been on a flight where they closed all the blinds? So what is your perspective? What is all you can see? Like in here. All we can see is in here, right? So our world consists of this one room. But if we open the blinds, or if they open the blind on the airplane, you can see for miles and miles and miles. Part of the reason we get stuck is because we can't see, you know, more than 50 feet. And God says, no, I want you to see bigger. I want you to have a heavenly perspective. See, we get so caught up in our little world. And we lose the eternal perspective. So if you're a Christ follower here this morning, no matter what life throws at you, and I'm not trying to belittle your circumstances, thank God that death could not even keep Jesus stuck, right? That passage we read, that God raised the dead. Well, I don't know about the afterlife. Well, let me just tell you this. Jesus didn't die for nothing. Right? He died so you and I could have life, everlasting life. So sometimes we just need to zoom out, if you will. Think positively. That's what we read here in Philippians chapter 4. This would solve a lot of our problems. We just do this. All right? Just do what it says here. Dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what? What is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Wow, wouldn't it make a difference in your life? You and I would learn to do that. So we've recognized and admitted that we're stuck. Remember God's faithfulness. We've refocused our minds on the hope of heaven. And fourthly, this is a biggie. Respond obediently to God's direction. See, obedience is the key to getting unstuck. Reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, who obey. His ears are open to their prayers. The Lord turns His face against those who do evil, those who do not obey. What does it mean to respond obediently? Well, it depends on what's got you stuck. We mentioned two things, right? Sin and circumstances. If sin has got you stuck, how do you respond obediently? Well, you confess it, right? Admit it, confess it, and repent. We use the word repent. Repent means to turn 180 degrees. So if I'm disobeying God, I have to turn 180 degrees to obeying God. Confess and repent. Nothing will change until we give God complete control. If it's circumstances, if life is beating you up, and it does that sometimes, stay the course. Don't give up. Don't give up on God, first and foremost. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your financial situations. Don't give up on your health. Don't give up on your friends. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your church. Don't give up on... Just don't give up. What's the expression? It's darkest before the dawn. After Good Friday, which wasn't good, but we call Good Friday, came Easter, right? Scripture says in Matthew 6:33, pretty familiar verse, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, it means obey, and He'll give you everything you need. We don't need much more of this in the Bible. If I just seek God and live obediently, He takes care of everything else. Isn't that what it says? Takes care of everything else. He'll take care of my marriage. He'll take care of my finance. He'll take care of my job. Take care of my health. He takes care of it all. Now, it's conditional, right? And part of that condition is obeying. You know, and I don't obey. Does God need to take care of everything else? No, that's the condition. Now, again, none of us are perfect, but when we sin, we confess it, then we're back on the right track. What is delayed obedience? You familiar with that term? My kids are. What is delayed obedience? Disobedience. Got my kids in the front row here. Delayed obedience and disobedience. I have my grandkids sitting up, one of my grandchildren sitting up there, and she's learned this. All right? This is a biggie in our household. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Now, let me be honest with you folks this morning. Most of you know what you should do, and you're not doing it. Delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. So, why are you waiting? You know, I love my grandkids. They're high energy. We have them quite often at our house. And we love them to death, of course. But sometimes I have to tell them things more than once, or maybe more than twice, sometimes more than three times. All right? Delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. Exactly. So if God's telling you to do it, whatever it is, and if you're not doing it, even with good intentions, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it someday, which isn't a day, is disobedience. So, what's God telling you to do right now? What's He telling you to do? For some of you, it is a step across the line. Say, okay, God, You've had no control in my life. I've ran my life, my whole entire life myself. And I'm going to accept your gift of salvation. I'm going to confess my sins, my failures, and throw myself at your mercy. And God says he'll forgive you and give you purpose and meaning in this life and eternity in heaven with him. Okay? Some of you, it may be to be baptized. I had a conversation with somebody about baptism recently. I don't even know why it's a hang-up for some people, but it is. God says, get baptized, get baptized. Maybe some involvement in this church. Maybe membership in this church. Maybe some ministry in this church. Maybe something completely different. We got some folks moving, by the way. Say goodbye to John McShirley this morning. This is probably the last time you'll see him. At least for years, maybe, to come back and visit us. Wife will be around for a couple more weeks. We don't know. We just have to obey whatever God's telling us to do. Putting it off, delayed obedience, is disobedience. And we can't claim his promise. It can be one of the most exciting days in your life if you just decide to do this. Give God complete control. That's point number four. Number five, this is the last one. Replacing my thoughts with God's thoughts. And a passage we've been using this through this whole series is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're going to read it and focus on a different part. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How does he do that? Transformation is getting unstuck by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What I've been talking about this morning, mostly, what I've been talking about this morning is thinking rather than doing. Why? Because if you want to change the way you act, you've got to change the way you think. So if you're stuck and you want to be unstuck, you want to change your action, you've got to change your thinking. So that's what we've been talking about this morning. Changing your thinking. You see, I can see the world through my own eyes, my narrow perspective, and I can struggle and I can get discouraged and even give up. Or I can see things through God's eyes. Completely different, right? I see the potential. I see the future of heaven, and I can keep on. Someone said it this way: the size of your God determines the size of your future. Got a little God? Got a little future. Got a big God? You've got a big future. The sky's the limit. Last verse this morning is from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. God speaking, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you, underline this last part, a future and a hope. Now, you may feel you don't have a future and a hope, but what does God say? His plan for you is a future and a hope. So you and I have the choice. We're going to plug into his plan, or we're going to try it our way, our plan. Does God want you to be stuck? No, he wants you to move forward. What does it require? What is our definition? Giving God complete control. So will you? Let's end with this morning. Will you give him complete control? Will you give him control of your career? Will you give him control of your relationships? Will you give him control of your marriage and your kids, your grandkids, your finances? The list just goes on and on and on. Will you give him complete control? Will you give him your life? Let's pray. We can't thank you enough, God, that you have a plan for our future, a good plan, and it's full with hope. God, I don't know
the people's hearts here this morning, their struggles, the attitudes, the mood that they're in, but you do. And I don't believe in any way that anyone's here by accident this morning, that you had something specifically to say to each one of us. And God, I pray for each person here that whatever you're saying to them, they're saying yes to you. We sometimes say, you know, you say jump, we say how high. Want me to join the church? I'll join the church. Want to get involved in this ministry? No problem. Want me to step across the line into salvation? I know it's a big step, but that's what God is calling you to. Say yes. He'll give you a future and a hope. God, I thank you that your word speaks of positive things. Because we're so trapped in what might be considered a negative world, a sinful world. God, I thank you for the hope that only you can bring. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously, I don't know where you're at this morning. I've tried to share God's word as best I could with you. This is what we call our time of invitation and decision. So, you know, you probably got about another 5 minutes to wrestle with God, and then you can run out the door and try and run from him. But there's a story in the Bible about a guy trying to run from God. You know how that worked out for him? Not too good. All right. All I want to do is just encourage you. Why would you want to run from a loving God? Good question, right? So don't do it. We can help in any way. Please let us know. That's what your response cards are for. Thank you.